this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, "We want this country back. We ain't just joking. Want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore." Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. Country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. Cause it's right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, "We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more flack. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore.
Good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this evening, this June 20th, 2024. Hope you've had a good week. Summertime is upon us. How about that? We're glad to have it. Glad to have it. Well, welcome, and hope you're having a good. We had a 91st day this past week on the 18th and just a couple days ago and got us into summer. And here we are. We've had rain and flood warnings north of us and south of us today. But It rained a little bit here, but nothing major, but we're glad to be here and thankful for the rain. We've had cooler temperatures than most of the rest of the nation, I would say. Well, let's go to our Heavenly Father before we go any further. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this day, this opportunity to be here, Lord, to share with your remnant some, hopefully, some words of encouragement, Lord, some current events, Lord, to look about and see the events of the day, the signs of the times, Lord. Let us not be distressed by them, Lord, but let us be encouraged, each and every one of us, as we know that you are still on the throne and that you direct these things that are going on, Lord, either for our instruction, for our correction, for our learning, whatever it may be, Lord, that you have the scriptures before us and you have foretold these things that are happening. And so we thank you, knowing that you are in control, Lord, knowing that we can pray to you, that we can look to you for our health and safety and welfare, and that we can look to your word, O Lord, for truth in this time of lies that we live in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I pray for your blessings on this broadcast tonight. Guide and direct me. Give me the words to speak, to be honorable to you, and to, Lord, well, to encourage others, Lord, to encourage the remnant. We all need encouragement, Lord, and Lord, I take this encouragement as well, and I thank you for it. This opportunity and this time, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, remnant, lots going on. We are just into summer heat, lots of summer heat down in the Southwest. Wildfires rolling through New Mexico, California as well. California had several fire starts this past week. It's that time of the year for sure. I would encourage you to pray, at least for those people that are his, that are involved. Had a couple of towns down in New Mexico that were evacuated, and I've seen some of the videos that have come out, and it's devastation when a fire rolls through a town. It really is, or through a neighborhood. So I would ask you to add those people to your prayers. I'll be doing that myself. Wouldn't ask you to do something that we wouldn't do. And so we do encourage you to pray for those people that are impacted, that have had their homes burned or damaged by these fires, and that it would be used for good. You know, the scripture tells us in Romans 8:28 that God works all things for good for those that love him. It's interesting that distinction is made. It doesn't say God works all things for good for all of mankind, because he doesn't. Because that's not what the word says. The word says he works all things for good for those that love him. Now, when I see that, I see that distinction between those that love him and those that don't. Now, I'm not damning those to hell that don't. That's not my job. I see that if I love him, he works all things for good for those that love him. And I can choose to love him. And that's what that's one of the things I try to share with others, is that, you know what, it rains certainly on the just and the unjust. And those fires in New Mexico, devastating fires. And then 2 days later, massive thunderstorms rolled through, and they were in the evacuation areas. They were declaring flood warnings and mudslide warnings. Saw a video today of a huge mudslide come down a little arroyo that you would not want to be caught in it. There's no doubt about it. And so, excuse me, the devastation that we're seeing, it is meant to humble us in this nation, to get us to return to the God of our forefathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible. No, not the Jesus, the fake Jesus that's preached by the Judeo-Christian crowd that just loves everybody. No, that's Oprah. That's not Jesus. That's Oprah, okay? And so don't be afraid to share that with people, to let them know that, because if any version of the Bible, and I would stay away from the NIV and maybe that, good news or what's happening now type of thing, but the scripture tells us Any version you read, God is certainly a God of love, but he's a God of wrath and a God of vengeance and a God that, well, just like Romans 8:28, he will work all things for good for those that love him. Now, the Bible says he is a rewarder of those that do good. Well, what is he to those that do bad? He is a punisher. And the government that he has set up is to do that. That's what Romans 13 is about. When you read Romans 13, that government is not something to be feared. No, but it has a role and it has a responsibility. And when it is fulfilling that role and responsibility, well, then it is to be obeyed. If it is more like the government of the pre-Revolutionary War to where it is not fulfilling those obligations, well, then it is a government to be overthrown. And there's nothing new under the sun. It is as simple as that. And so we all have that choice to whether we will obey God or obey man. And, you know, as much as possible, we try to be at peace with all men, but there's sometimes things that come up that you just have to obey God rather than man. And so just how we got to that off the wildfires, I'm not sure. But my thoughts on the subject tonight that I guess even in wildfires, even in maybe your home burning down, that God works all things for good for those that love him. And so there's times we may not be able to control what happens if we're in the path of a wildfire or whatever it may be, a health issue, a job issue. Certainly we should do all that we can that is moral and safe to do, to not get in that position. But when those things happen to us, and again, the Bible tells us that it does. It rains on the just and the unjust. It happens. Life happens. And it's how we react to it and how we go about in regards to it. It really is. It really is. So, again, I do encourage you to pray for those people. And, you know, you can be selective. You can pray as the Bible says, Lord, for those that love you, bless them, protect them, provide for them, keep them safe. You know, let their provision not run out. Let them be saved where maybe those that don't love you, Lord, well, that's up to you. But your word says, for those that love you, work it all for good, no matter what. And strengthen them through these trials. And hopefully, Remnant, that's how we're praying for one another. I hope that's how you pray for us here at the ministry. That's how we here pray for you, the Remnant, that God would rebuke the devourer for you, that you would be provided for, that you would have plenty. Because his word says that. And so we're just claiming those promises that his word says. But don't I'm not going to run through the list of them. You go and look. You can read in Psalms where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. And I shared that with a person one time, and they said, well, what are his benefits? And I said, what are his benefits? You need to read the word and find out. Oh, no, I'm not talking about a prosperity gospel here, no. But how about just that Romans 8:28? One of the benefits is if you love him, he'll work all things for good. All things. Not some things, not Tuesday things or Saturday things or Monday things. All things. All things. So, anyway. Well, we certainly need that in the days that we're in, the days that are full of lies. We're lied to by the media. We're lied to by the health department. We're lied to by the scientists. It just goes on and on. I saw this today, and I printed it out. I wanted to share it with you because we are not, you know, we're in the grandparent stage. My wife and I are now, and we're, you know, the time of babies and baby formulas is over for us. Now, our children, they're still, you know, they're in that position now with babies and less than 1 year olds and almost 2 year olds and 3 year olds and 5 and 6 and 8 and 10 year olds and things like that. But I saw this from Mercola, and it again goes back to baby formula being loaded with toxic heavy metals. And I've had this conversation with my wife over the 37 years and that we've been married, and our 9 children that we've raised, done our best to feed and nourish and raise and teach the gospel to. And we were, thankfully, my wife was able to breastfeed all of our children. I think maybe just my oldest, who is 34, he might have had a little bit of formula, but very little. And that was a long time ago, certainly. But you know, things were different 30 years ago as well when it comes to formula. And the devices of the evil that are all about us, and the evil one that is all about us. And so, toxic heavy metals. And this article says, is your baby's first food loaded with toxic heavy metals? It says researchers looked at samples from 20 formulas made by well-known local and international brands, found that 6 of 20 formulas tested positive for 5 types of toxic heavy metals, including lead and aluminum. And it goes on to some specifics, and I've got this printed out. If you are in a position that this affects you directly, or maybe children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews or whatever, I'll be glad to send you the link, or I'll print it out. It's just a little, 8-page article, and talks about it. But and my wife and I have talked about that in our parents' generation, back in the 60s. The late 50s and 60s, and we were both born in the mid 60s, that generation, see, of parents were bombarded with the formula and told that, oh, this is the latest and greatest. The formula is so much better for your child, so much better. And so, you know, a lot of them bought into it. A lot of them still do, much more now than 50 years ago. But in the 60s, the late 50s and the 60s, that was what was pushed on new mothers was, yes, go to formula. Now, it's a great moneymaker for the people that make formula, and it's not as good as breast milk if you can breastfeed. Now, you know, for those that can't, well, you have to do what you have to do. But there are other things to do other than just buying a big old box of formula and mixing it up and feeding it to your baby. There really are. And it's lies that we're told. People are told this is good. This is good for your baby, and this will be healthy. And it's just not. And so here it says researchers tested 40 samples from 20 formulas, such as Enfamil, Gerber, Similac, organic, non-GMO, grass-fed, hypoallergenic. Each formula was tested twice. Said 35% of the samples tested positive for cadmium, 55% positive for mercury, and 57% positive for arsenic. These are poisons in baby food. Says 4 samples had mercury levels higher than the allowed limit in drinking water. Cadmium levels in both samples of one formula were nearly twice higher than the allowed amount in drinking water. Aluminum levels in the goat milk baby formula were up to 40,000 times higher than other metals in the formulas tested. And the issue with this is that the report mentions that these toxic heavy metals can cross your child's blood-brain barrier, which doesn't fully develop until they're 6 months old, which puts them at risk of cognitive health issues. Here's a quote: chronic exposure to these metals, even at low levels, can have cumulative effects on infants, potentially leading to developmental and neurological issues, carcinogenic carcinogenic, as well as initiating the development of chronic diseases later in life. Given the crucial growth period in infants, even small amounts of toxic metals can have disproportionately large impacts as compared to adults. And it goes on and talks about how heavy metal contamination from formula milk can have a cumulative effect. That means that, you know, just one time, you may not see an instant. But drinking it all day or every night before bed for months, it builds up. Here was a 2019 report from the advocacy group Healthy Babies, Bright Futures, said that 95% of baby foods from major manufacturers contained lead, and a quarter of the foods contained all four heavy metals. And when you look at, you know, I don't know if you have ever looked, this is one of the reasons that we didn't go to formula, but have you ever looked at the ingredient list? I want to read just a little. I don't have time to. I can't pronounce half this stuff. Here's a list of ingredients of one infant formula that's, quote, highly recommended in the United States. Okay? Ingredients. And you know that ingredient list, they have to start with what's there in the most abundant, and then it goes down from there, right? So here's the ingredients in baby formula that in the land of the free and the home of the brave, this is what is being fed to our children, our babies. 42% corn syrup solids, 14% soy protein insulate, 11% high oleic safflower oil, 10% sugar, little coconut oil, 2% calcium phosphate, potassium citrate, sodium chloride, L-methionine, potassium chloride, choline, ascorbyl palmitate, ferrous sulfate, L-carnitine, niacinamide, thiamine sulfate, riboflavin, pyridoxine, hydrochloric. I mean, it just goes on and on. Contains soy. And so corn syrup solids, safflower oil, sucrose, soy oil. No wonder childhood obesity in the United States is rising at alarming rates. Corn syrup solids are associated with increased obesity risk in the first 5 years of life in a dose-dependent manner. That means the more they get, the more it's also addictive. The more they get, the more they want. And the vegetable oils that are used are loaded with omega-6 fats. Now, the omega-3s and omega-9s, those are the good ones, but the omega-6s are not, particularly the linoleic acid, the most damaging ingredient that contributes to most degenerative diseases. And so, you know, these things contribute to obesity, to health issues, to things like fatty liver that you never really heard of before. But they're just widespread today. You know, back in 22, the FDA shut down Abbott Nutrition's facility in Sturgis, Michigan, after five infants were sickened with Cronobacter and Salmonella. Two of the babies died, and as a result, you remember there was a severe formula milk shortage all across the USA? You know, but, you know, moms that breastfed didn't have a crisis. They didn't. And it may seem that formula milk offers a greater freedom, but it's just not, okay? And of course, then this goes on and talks about breastfeeding, how you know, it's natural. It's been around since the beginning of time, or right after it. And adults breastfed during infancy were also found to have a 26% lower risk of becoming overweight or obese, as well as a lower risk of type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, and heart disease. Mothers who breastfed experienced profound benefits such as quicker recovery from childbirth, reduced risk of breast and ovarian cancer, faster weight loss after childbirth, reduced risk of cardiovascular disease, reduced risk of postpartum depression, and a closer bond between a mother and her child even beyond infancy. And so then it goes on and talks about making your own infant formula at home. It talks about it mentions nutrition educator Sarah Pope of the Healthy Home Economist, how to make the formula created by Mary Enig, a PhD, published in the book Nourishing Traditions. Reading through it, Weston A. Price Foundation has a baby formula recipe, like I said, I'd be glad to send this to you if it goes on with a regular this person's own formula for making, and it's got stuff like raw cream in it and a probiotic and yeast flakes and non-fermented cod liver oil and coconut oil and organic ghee and you know, guess what? It's not the easiest thing in the world. Now, you don't have to be a mad scientist to do this. And, you know, many mothers I know mothers that have gone back to work and they pump. They pump and save the milk, freeze it, and that's what's available. And thankfully, there is also a growing, growing, what do you call it, like an underground market out there for women that families that understand this, and maybe they can't breastfeed. Maybe they don't produce enough milk. And so there are, you know, there used to be wet nurses, is what they called them. And that's what people would have, people that could afford it. They would have a wet nurse that would nurse their child. They would find someone locally that had just had a child that had an abundance, and they would nurse their child with that wet nurse. And so there is an underground movement that is going on that I've seen around in different towns and different cities, and I've seen reports and talked with people in different locations about it, where people make breast milk available for feeding your child and not having to go to this formula. So I just mentioned it. You know, it might be a weird topic for me to hear from this, but you know, there are so many out there that they just don't know. We see that when it comes to the Bible, the biblical plan of salvation. There's so many that just don't know. They believe what they've been told. And you know, as truth junkies, as Pastor used to describe us, we want the truth. The truth is, with your baby, breast milk is best. It's as simple as that. Now, you know what, Mama? That means you can't smoke crack while you're breastfeeding, and you can't be getting drunk. You need to eat right. You need to drink right. You have to take care of yourself so that you can take care of your baby. It is as simple as that. It's not rocket science. And so the, you know, things come up. Well, I can't do this. Well, I work. Well, I do that. Well, if you want to feed your baby this crap with toxic heavy metals, just because that's what everybody else is doing, well, Okay, your choice. But, you know, when you make stupid choices, expect stupid things to come from it. And that's really where we're at. And it is no different. This is just like, you know, relying 100% on all your food from Walmart. It's not good for you. It's not good for your family. And so there are alternatives. There are. You know, there's alternatives to gallbladder surgery. There's alternatives. You know, there's natural ways to make gallstones flush out. There's natural ways to make kidney stones, to flush the kidneys and pass kidney stones. I can tell you because I've done them since I was 18 years old, or at least since I was about 25. I've done the natural ways, and it works. And so there are alternatives to just what the AMA says, the American Medical Association. There's alternatives to what the American Diabetic Association says. There is truth out there if you care to look for it. You know, the Bible says that if you seek, you will find. If you truly seek, I have never known anyone that is truly sought after a truth, that has truly sought to find an alternative treatment for something, or has truly sought after the truth about whether it's the Bible or whatever, that hasn't found it. Because the Word of God is true. If you seek, you will find. It really is as simple as that. So, again, if you're in that position, if you're going to be in that position, especially fathers, where you may be responsible, because guess what, Dad? You're responsible for your family. If you've said, I do, and you have a wife, well, guess what? You are responsible for that wife. And you are responsible for that child until that child turns of age. I mean, and it's not that it ends there, but it just changes a little bit. But you are responsible, and you do need to provide for them as healthy an existence as you can. Not as easy, not to provide as abundant as an abundant existence as possible, or an easy existence. No, the Word says we are to train up a child in the way they should go. And, you know, fathers, it's just been removed. We just had Father's Day, this last weekend. And, you know, I had a couple scriptures I wanted to share kind of from that. It's not just about Father's Day, but they are scriptures that, to me, they hit right in line with the Romans 8:28, with, you know, he works all things for good for those that love him. See, there is a distinction, Remnant. There, you know it. There is a distinction. Oh, they can, these false preachers and false teachers can teach all they want in the seminaries and preach all they want from the pulpits. But there is a distinction between those that can repent, those that have repented, those that will repent, and those that won't. Those that won't. Now, us as God's people, we can become twofold more sons of hell. There's no doubt about that. But see, that's just more for us to turn away from. That's more for us to be aware of. That's more for us to repent from. And to not be like the twofold sons of hell that are out there. You know, the old saying, misery loves company. It's true. How many people have you known? You know some people that it's like they're just miserable no matter what, and they want you to be miserable too. Misery loves company. Well, I say let it have its own company. I don't want anything to do with it. Here's a couple scriptures that, well, it's really a promise. Malachi 4:6. We talk about that a lot. Malachi 4:6. It says, Malachi 4:6, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. And you know, there's many times in my Christian walk that I've read that, and it's like, I see the need for it more and more. It reminds me of the scripture where it says, you know, the time will come that the older women will need to teach the younger women how to love their husbands. And that's the time we're in now, because the children, the generations that arose up, they don't know. They think, they confuse love for sex. And it's just not that way. That's what's pushed this way. This, you know, is just this dog sex out there, and they and the world calls it love, and it's not love. It's hate. It's hate. It's hate for who you are. Hate for your culture. Hate for your God. But in Malachi, there's a promise that God will turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. See, the fathers, when this happens, the fathers will no more just want to sow their oats and have a baby over here and a baby over there and not even care if they have children or not, and just go do their own thing and go get drunk on a plane and do things, you know, get their toes in the sand and be more worried about that than about teaching and training up children to love God, to fear God, and to love their neighbors themselves. See, God will turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. And when you repent and return to God and love Him and change, He does that. That's one of His benefits. It's one of His benefits that come from returning to Him. And it says that He'll turn the heart of the children to their fathers. See that? You know, you've seen it. You don't see it as much anymore, but I remember seeing it. It's just because there's no inheritance left. But you'd see it on the big motorhome. We're spending our children's inheritance, right? Got mine, get yours. That's been the attitude. Oh, not from all, but from many. Hey, I got mine. I worked. I got mine. You get yours. But see what have we seen? And the explosion in the last couple generations of the nursing homes, and the abandonment of the seniors. But see, there is a distinction for those that have returned to their God. He makes a distinction. And it's different for those that have turned back to God. The hearts of the fathers have turned back to the children. And there's care and concern and love there. And the hearts of the children have been turned back to the fathers, for those that are true followers of Jesus Christ, for those that do keep in the back of their mind to honor their mother and father so that they would have length of days and it would go well with them in the land. They remember that. See, that's another one of those benefits. Now, this has not happened all across the land, but it has happened. And it will continue to happen because it is one of those many benefits. Now, what happens when this doesn't happen? Oh, my gosh. When you have a fatherless home. I mentioned that I talked a little bit about it on Father's Day, just a little bit. But, you know, it's more, we see it in all of our society. The statistics, 63% of youth suicides come from fatherless homes. You want to talk about a great responsibility, men? Oh, anybody can get a woman pregnant. Any man can anyway. Any boy. But it takes a man to be a father. But when we don't live up to that, when the men in this land are more interested in doing that, what I said, getting drunk on a plane and listening to the music and just out there having a good time, playing around, playing the field, sowing their oats, chasing that dollar. Well, that's where 63% of the youth suicides come from. A home that doesn't have a father in it. Children that exhibit behavioral disorders, 85% from fatherless homes. 80% of convicted rapists grew up in fatherless homes. School dropouts, 70% of teenage school dropouts are from fatherless homes. The youths that are in drug abuse centers that grow and grow, and I see more and more advertised all the time. The youth in drug abuse centers, 75% of them are from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in the state prison system, in the state institutions, juveniles, those that are under 18 that are locked up, 70% of them come from fatherless homes. 85% of youngsters that are actually in prison come from fatherless homes. And 70% of teen pregnancies are from fatherless homes. Now, there's no guarantees, right? Oh, there's a guarantee that God works all things for good for those that love Him. That, you know, His word is a guarantee. But, you know, being a godly father is not, it's not something that just happens. It's not. It takes hard work. It takes effort. It takes making the right choices and learning from the bad choices. Learning from the mistakes that are made. And it takes help from the Holy Spirit. It takes help from God to be a good father. It certainly does. And because we don't have that as a whole in the land, we suffer from these statistics that I just shared with you. Hebrews 12:7 talks about endurance and discipline. Hebrews 12:7 says, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. And see, that's almost a foreign concept today. Well, why would God discipline me? You know, most people think, I've done nothing wrong. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't raped anybody. I haven't robbed a bank. I've done nothing wrong. Why would God discipline me? See, they haven't been taught because they're lost. It says you are to endure to learn discipline. That because of this, when this happens, God is treating you as sons. And so much of this is lost on even the Judeo-Christians today. Because, see, all they've heard is that God is a God of love. Jesus just loves everybody. Red and yellow, black and white. Oh, they're precious in His sight. Jesus loves them all. Loves the sinner, hates the sin, but loves the sinner. Hosea 4:6. See, Malachi 4:6, we read that. Here's another 4:6. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Boy, there's enough to contemplate for the rest of the evening right there. My people are destroyed, and we see His people being destroyed today. Our youth, our children being poisoned with toxic heavy metals in the baby food. Our children growing up in fatherless homes And we see the results of that in the teen pregnancies and the drug abuse and the behavioral disorders and the suicides. And God points it out, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. See, people say, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. Nope, I want to believe what I want to believe. Okay. Because you have rejected knowledge, the Word of God says, I also will reject you, that you may be no priest to me. See, we are to be priests and kings in our own home. But when we reject that knowledge, and it works on fathers and mothers, men and women alike, then God rejects us from being the leaders that we should be. And then he says, because you have forgotten my law. Because you have forgotten my law. Because you listen to the bastards in the pulpit when tell you that my law has been done away with. Because you listen to them and you believe them. You reject the knowledge of God. You reject the word of God that says, my law is perfect and right and perfect when used lawfully. And Jesus himself says, don't think I came to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. He didn't do away with it. Because you have forgotten my law, God says, I also will forget your children. How you like that? How you like that? Now, it doesn't say, keep my law and live. Oh, it says, turn to me and live. Return to me and live. Choose this day. Make a distinction and live. The word says that. Choose life. Choose to obey him and live. Choose God and his ways and Jesus Christ and his grace and his mercy as your fortress. We get that opportunity. But we see in our society today that our children have been forgotten. How many generations? We see it. I see it as a father. I turned 59 last month. And I certainly see it as a father and a grandfather. And I've seen it in my lifetime. The difference when I was in school in the 70s and the early 80s, the difference that those 40 years have made. And it just gets worse. As a people, our children are being forgotten, have been forgotten, because the word of God is true. And he says, because you have forgotten my law, I will forget your children. One of many of his promises. But see, this is also one of his benefits. Because the reverse of this is true as well. That when we remember his law, when we are like we read about in Ezra and Nehemiah and Jeremiah, where they found the law. They found it. And they went through and read it. And Hezekiah did that. He saw that and he's like, oh, wait, we're supposed to be doing such and such. We're supposed to be taking care of the temple and we're supposed to be observing the Passover and we're supposed to be getting money to the Levites to fix these things and to take care of the poor and all. When they found the law, they turned and they changed and they went back to the old ways. They went back to God's law and they were delivered. They lived. They prospered. Not all, but those that did. They were saved. Just like those that obeyed in Egypt were saved. And those that didn't obey were not. And it is that way today. When we remember his law, guess what? He remembers our children. And if you don't have children, well, hey, tell you what, how about remember his law for our children, for your neighbor's children, for your society's children? the signers of the Declaration of Independence. They didn't do that great work that they did for themselves. They did it for their posterity, for their children, for their children's children, for your children and my children, is why they signed that Declaration of Independence, why they became traitors to the mother country, why they became outlaws and convicts. For their children and yours and mine. They remembered. And when they remembered God's law, and when they did their best to, I think, to put it into effect in the society, that God remembered their children. And it is that way today, on this 20th of June, 2024, that when we remember His law, He remembers our children. I didn't write it. I didn't decipher it. I can understand it, though. Now, do I remember and keep His law 100%? Nobody except Jesus Christ does or did. But when we remember it, when we remember His law, He remembers our children. So let us do that. Let us remember His law. Let us remember what He tells us to do and not to do in His word, and then let us apply that in our lives. And when we do that, oh, it's enmity with the world. Heck, it's enmity with the Judeo-Christian world, but that's good. I want to be at enmity with anything Judeo. I absolutely want to, because it means that I'm more in line with Christ. I'm more in line with His word. Titus 2. Titus 2, 7 and 8. Man, I'm running out of time. I wanted to get two more little verses in here. Titus 2, 7 and 8 says, "In everything set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us." Set an example. We are to be an example in what we say, in how we act, in what we do. Perfect? No. But forgiven. And I saw this about being a father. I thought it was pretty good. For those that shave. How about that? For those that shave. It says, being a good father is like shaving. No matter how good you shaved today, you have to do it again tomorrow. And that certainly applies. And so, fathers, I reach out to you with that challenge. And I do my best to challenge myself and try to accept it myself, too, to, you know, we got to do good again. We got to do good today. We got to do good again tomorrow. Well, Remnant, that's all I got. I'm out of time. I'm out of voice. Whew, sorry I didn't get to the phone lines. Thank you for tuning in. Join us Saturday morning for coffee with the Wranglers. We'll do our best to have a phone line open and take your calls. Hope you'll join us Saturday morning for coffee right here at scriptures4america.org. God bless.
This crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, "We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms." anymore.